Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Moving further into Galatians chapter 4 and coming to verses 8 and following, we see that Paul is talking about the danger of backsliding. Backsliding, a fairly common word in the vocabulary of many Christians. However, it is not always a clearly defined word. To a Wesleyan, backsliding usually means a loss of salvation. To a Baptist, backsliding often means not attending church and not living like a Christian should. In this section, verses 8 through 11 of Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul does not use the term backsliding, but he describes a condition wherein the Galatian believers were in danger of departing from the truth of the gospel and resorting to an inferior and counterfeit form of Christianity. And Paul is extremely concerned about this slide into empty ceremonialism. Not what we would usually call backsliding today, but perhaps a worse form of this condition than we commonly recognize. Backsliding from the true gospel to a polluted and compromised false gospel. This form of backsliding is extremely dangerous because it has the appearance of religious commitment. In fact, it may appear to be a greater level of dedication than before, but it is pseudo-godliness, sham spirituality, false religion, and therefore dangerous backsliding. Now let's see what Paul, by the Spirit of God, has to say to us here. And we begin in verse 8 as Paul describes the former condition of his Galatian readers. He says, "But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods." But then, when you did not know God, that is, the one true God. And salvation here is described in terms of knowing God. Those who are unsaved are those who don't know God. And Paul says, formerly, you didn't know God. That is, formerly, you were not saved. Now, it's obvious that everybody knows something about God. Paul makes that very clear in Romans chapter 1, particularly verses 21 and 22, when he tells us that every person in all the world has some knowledge of the true God, though they have suppressed it. And so, when Paul says, "But then indeed, when you did not know God," he doesn't mean know in the sense of intellectual knowledge. He's not saying when you had no idea who God is, when you had no knowledge at all of the true God. But he uses this word know in the sense of intimate knowledge and significant relationship. It's the same word that is used, for example, by the Virgin Mary when the angel tells her that she's going to have a child in Luke 1:34, and she says, "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" Well, obviously, she knew a lot of men. She wasn't saying that she had no information about men, no knowledge of men. She wasn't even saying that she had no acquaintance with men, for obviously she did. She was at that very time betrothed to Joseph. But she was saying, "I don't have an intimate relationship with a man. I have not, and Therefore, it is biologically impossible that I could have a child. And the angel is telling her, this is a miracle. What is impossible with men is possible with God. And you're going to have a child without knowing a man, without having any intimate physical knowledge of a man, that is, intimate physical relationship. And that, in a sense, is what Paul is saying here about the Galatians. He's saying there was a time when you did not know God in a meaningful, saving relationship. And what Paul is saying of them is really true of everyone. There was a time when I did not know God in this way. There was a time when you did not know God in this way. Now, it's true that men and women are saved at different times in their lives, and some are brought to a knowledge of Christ, a saving knowledge of Christ, fairly early in their lives. And it may seem to them that they have grown up always knowing God, have grown up always having an intimate relationship, a saving relationship with God. But, of course, this is not true, because the Bible makes it clear that we are born sinners in need of salvation. We are born into this world already under condemnation, and we must be brought to a saving knowledge of Christ in order for that condition to be reversed. And so their former condition was that they did not know God at some time in their life. And when that time was true, they were slaves to false religion. Verse 8, but then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. Make no mistake about what Paul is saying. When he says there was a time when you did not know God, he was not saying there was a time when you were not religious. That's seldom true of most people. Nearly everybody has some degree of religiosity almost from their earliest days, their earliest conscious days. Some more than others, of course. We know that some grow up in homes that do not practice religion, do not attend church, and yet there always are some elements of religious sentiment that are fostered in every home and every relationship and passed on to our children in some form or another. And of course, in the day in which Paul wrote to these Galatian Christians, nearly all of them had had a very active religious life before they came to Christ. They were committed to religion, but they didn't know God. I wonder how many are in that category today in America who are committed to Christianity, at least in some sense, in some cultural sense, in some social sense, committed to Christ in some cultural or social sense, but don't know God. Could that be your condition today, dear friend? You see, everybody worships and serves something or someone, either the true God or one or more counterfeit gods. Godliness, in this sense, is a matter of nature. Again, but then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. We're by nature no gods. You see, religion is natural. It's a matter of nature. It is a matter of what we are inclined to from our earliest consciousness. Because having been created in the image of God with a capacity to know and worship God, but having fallen from our original condition through Adam's sin, we nevertheless maintain this religious nature, this religious instinct. And in the universe, there are really only two categories, two classes of individuals. There is God, he's in one class, and then there's everything else that is not God. That's the other class. Or we could put it this way, there is that which is uncreated, And then there's everything else that he created. Two categories. The uncreated, it's a small category, it's a big category because of the one who fills that category, God, who fills the universe, but nevertheless, as far as the numerical listings of those who fit into this category, it's a pretty short list. In this column, there's God, the triune Godhead. And then in the other column of created things, there's everything else. Everything else in this universe, because everything was created by God, who is the uncreated one. And what Paul is reminding us is that the essence of false religion is worshiping some part of creation rather than worshiping the Creator. That's what false religion is. Worshiping creation. Some aspect of creation, some part of creation, some form of creation, some element of creation, to worship something that is created rather than worshiping the one who created it. I read Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And any worship which is not worship of the uncreated Creator, the invisible God, the unseen Creator, anything that worships creation, whether it be humanism and its worship of man, the worship of nature. We see a lot of that in the ecology movement today. And I'm not opposed to all of the tenets and emphases of the ecology movement, but it's obvious that a lot of these people have a religion, and they are worshiping creation rather than the Creator. And that's why they have things so out of balance and out of whack, because they are elevating elements of creation up on the level of God. And they've got things all wrong. And for the Galatians that Paul is writing to, he's talking about their former idolatry and what it demanded of them. For then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. They're pagan gods. They're idols. They had a religion. They had temples. They had places of worship. They had a priesthood. They had ritual. Oh, they had religion, but it was not worship of the one true God. And therefore, it was a false religion. And that was their former condition before Christ found them, before God found them and brought them to Christ. That was your condition before God found you and brought you to Christ. That may be your condition today. If so, you need to turn to Christ. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.